Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome to the Armor Report, Algorithmic Risk Management Research. This is about investing in the millennial stock market. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. It's a live trading desk. We're live streaming this half-hour podcast on YouTube. And for you YouTube followers, you already know this because I've given you like a bit of a sneak peek, but while we were waiting for this Blog Talk Radio show to begin at 12, we did have a major announcement, it looks like, on Cronos, one of our favorite marijuana companies. So let me just give you some quick backstory. This show's all about investing in the stock market. I'm using my own personal capital. I'm investing for individuals. We do it all through Interactive Brokers. We take fundamental traditional analysis approaches to finding themes that we want to invest in and then stocks in those themes, but we use algorithms and other millennial tools to help us execute better, to get rid of greed and fear and execute based on probabilities and statistics, getting ourselves on the right side of probabilities and statistics, and then putting capital to work when the reward's worth the risk. And what we're going to talk about right now is breaking news about the marijuana stocks. This is not what I thought the show was going to be about, but we got to start here because it's an important day if this story is true. Now, the big thing about stories today is half the time they're not true. Someone's putting out the story so they can dump a whole bunch of Cronos. Who knows? We'll find out by the end of the day. Okay. The first thing we started talking about on our podcast, going back to August 15th. Go back and look. Go to our website, rosenthalcapital.com. Scroll down the bottom screen on the bottom right. You'll see all of our podcasts. You can go back to the marijuana issues early on in our process of these podcasts. We were pounding the table on the marijuana stocks. We said this is one of the number one themes we want to own going forward. And the reason is a watershed event occurred. Constellation Brands, the maker of a beer such as a Corona and Modelo, put $4 billion into Canopy, a major cannabis grower in Canada. And we said that was the watershed event. So we bought MJ, jumped about 50% in 5 weeks. We booked profits. We raised stops. We protected our profits and capital. The asset came down October, November, the market got wrecked. And I said to you on this podcast, it's rare you get a second shot at a watershed event, but we're getting it because the market's suffering. So do your homework, find out the stocks you want to own, look for the right entry point. That's what we're doing on our trading desk. So we got long MJ. This is how this works, okay? This is how we run money. And I'm sharing these thoughts with you to help you order your thinking in a world where there's so much information coming at you, it's hard to know what to do first. So the first layer for us are the big indexes, right? Every day on the show we talk about the S&P, the Dow, the small caps, the NASDAQ 100, and the momentum stocks. We use ETFs to invest in them. Last week we told you it's risk on. Get aggressive. Last week, the day before Chairman Powell was speaking, the day before the Fed made their comments that were dovish, we were buying the small caps, we were buying the NASDAQ 100. Then we put all of our capital to work the next day when the Fed got dovish, the market was up 2%, came on this podcast, and I said, don't be afraid of the 2%. When you get 2%+ moves on the risk on buy signal day, those moves are usually very bullish. It usually means the market's going to go higher and at least hit our first target so we can raise our stop and wall off our risk. Forgive me if today sounds like a big day of me talking about how great we are, okay? Sorry, this is a day to crow. There's a whole bunch of things coming home right now that I've been talking about for the last couple of months. Probabilities and statistics, reward versus risk. It's not about being right so much as from an ego standpoint. This show is not about guessing what the market's going to do and interpreting news and saying, well, if the chairman does this or if the president does that, then the market's going to go up, and somehow I have a an algorithm that guesses the future. That's not what we do here. No, no. Why am I so excited today? I'm only excited because we put risk on, and today all five of our big indexes have hit our first target, so we can raise our stops and wall off our risk. I don't know how much money we're going to make on this trade. The whole market could implode now, and I'll be out of these positions at the end of the day today or the end of the week. And that's just the way it went. But we should be able to execute so that we're out without a negative impact to our capital. That's step one. ARMR report, algorithmic risk management. Put capital to work when other people are afraid. So I'm putting capital to work before the Fed announcement. Right? And what do I hear? What do I hear from people when it comes to the Fed announcement? Don't put money to work yet. Don't know what the Fed's going to say. No, no, no. Our algorithm says put money to work. Doesn't matter what the Fed's going to say. The reward's worth the risk at this point. The probabilities are in our favor at this point. Put some money to work. Then the Fed says things that are positive, and we double and triple our positions because now all five indexes tell us to put risk on. But people said, no, no, no. Wait, wait. Don't do that yet. There's the G20 meeting. There's the Trump thing. There's the trade thing. And we say to you on this podcast, don't worry about that stuff. Don't worry about what you can't control. Put probabilities and statistics and reward versus risk at the top of your decision matrix. And when you get those things to line up correctly, you put capital to work and you let the statistics play out in your favor. And that's what's happening today. All five of our big indexes hit their raised target this morning. We can raise our stops. We can wall off our risk. Now we can just enjoy the ride. If you guys are watching me on Twitter, I'm trying to help you out. Please follow me, ARMR Report, hashtag ARMR Report, at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal. Go look at the tweets from this morning. I said, today's the day to enjoy the ride and not buy the open. Please, I hope if you guys are listening to me and following this, you weren't out there buying stocks on the gap up. You should have been in last week. And today's just a fun day. Sit back and see how much money we're going to make. And it's also a risk management day. Raise our stops. Be aware. Maybe this is the top. Maybe it's going to all roll over. Don't get emotional about it. Don't get upset. Protect your capital if you have to. Enjoy the ride. Okay. Now, let's get back, because the story is hot right now and things are moving. Let's get back to the cannabis story, because this kind of brings us full circle. The first step is to look at the big indexes. Last week it tells us to get long risk on whatever we like. In our IB accounts that you can link to, that we have clients linked to, all of it's my own personal capital, okay? We have conservative, balanced, aggressive. So across the board, depending on which type of portfolio we're running, we're buying the indexes across the board. And then we start layering in higher risk assets like group ETFs, our favorite themes, and then individual stocks in those groups for our most aggressive accounts. And the number one group at the top of our leaderboard, or our whiteboard, if you will, the theme we want to own that we don't want to miss are the cannabis stocks, the marijuana stocks. So when we get risk on across the board, we go look at those groups at the tops, MJ. We put that position into the portfolio last week. Then we drill down into the group to find our favorite names. And I talked about this last week. I'm not sure I named names. I'm going to tell you today that we own Cronos because we're already in the position. I'm not still building it, so it doesn't affect my ability to accumulate shares. But what we're doing, and what I tried to say last week, it's like it's prescient right now. Okay? So it's important we go over this. This is how you do fundamental research. I talk on this show all the time about the millennial market and algorithmic execution and exchange-traded funds and risk management. But I still have a healthy appreciation for fundamental analysis. So let me walk you through this process with us. We know we want to own cannabis stocks. We drill down, we look at all the different companies, we listen to conference calls of all the different earnings announcements of all these companies, and we focus on the companies that have intellectual property. Not the cannabis growers that are just commodity players. The CEO of Canopy said it best. And it's his path that we've been trying to follow and find other opportunities along his path. He said it best. If you want to understand the cannabis story, think about sugarcane. Now, I know if you guys watched me last week, I talked about this, but it's worth talking about again. Because we're going to watch how successful it is, I think, right here, if the story's true about Cronos. Look. When was it? Sometime in the 1800s or the turn of the century, I don't remember which, probably the 1800s, you had sugarcane growers. The guys who just grew the cane were commodity players, not the place we want to be. The guys that were growing the cane and then turning it into sugar to put in tea and coffee, that was nice. They were selling pure sugar. Not a lot of intellectual property there, though. Not a lot of high barriers to entry. We don't want those stocks. The companies that were taking the sugar and putting it into a carbonated beverage, I don't know, something like a Coca-Cola, that wasn't turn of the century, that came later. That's the stock you want to own. They have their formula under lock and key in a vault. That's the intellectual property, and that's the high ASPs. That's where your big margins come from. So what's the stock that's getting killed today? Down 18%, it was down 25% or almost 30 earlier. APHA is the symbol, APHA. Now, I said on my Twitter feed at first I thought it was a hatchet job, but then I read the story from short sellers, Hindenburg Research, and I got to give them credit. Guys, I'm giving you credit on my show here. I like the research. I think what you wrote was smart. It was well thought out. And if you read the report, guys, it says right in the beginning, this is not a condemnation of the cannabis investment story. It's a condemnation of one company that seems to be stealing from investors. It was really well written. I got to give these guys credit. They point out the fact that when a new business, a new theme begins, a new investment cycle, a couple of companies are going to steal money from shareholders. It doesn't mean the whole story is no good, but you're right. They're right. Think back to the internet play. The turn of the century, 1999, 2000, you had companies like Pets.com with a stock puppet that went to zero, right? You bought that stock, you lost all your money. If you focused on Google and Amazon, you'd make a fortune. So we're at that part of the cycle again for cannabis. You got to separate the wheat from the chaff, or the bud from the stalk, or however you want to say it. You got to extract the THC and the CBD. And those are the things you want to invest in. Cronos is another play like Canopy. They have the IP. They've stated on their conference call. All you have to do is listen to the conference call. This isn't rocket science. You could do your own fundamental research. You just have to take the time. Get on the calls and listen. Management said when asked directly by an analyst, what they would do to raise capital to take advantage of opportunities, they said, we don't want to hurt shareholders. We would like to partner with big players, which is precisely what Canopy did. They have the IP. They want to partner. And I told you after the 15th of August that there's no way Constellation Brands is going to be the only big player in the space. And what do we see today? Cronos up 19% right now because there's a story out that Altria, symbol MO, is thinking of taking the company over. Now, I don't know if that story's true. We'll find out. We'll find out if it's true. Okay, the story just came out again. There's more updates. Cronos Group follow-up to reports of acquisition talks. So the stock is back up. It went up. It was up 20%, then it dropped. It was only up 12%. Now it's back up 20%. I'm just looking at the story right now on Reuters. Marlboro cigarette maker Altria is in early talks to acquire Canadian cannabis producer Cronos as it seeks to diversify its business beyond traditional smokers, people familiar with the matter say. Cronos has not agreed to any deal, and there's no certainty they're going to, is the story. Okay. All right, so look. It may not be that Cronos has taken over. For all we know, Altria could be looking to take over somebody else. But the point is, the whole group is going to go up on stories like this. And if you think it's just Altria that's going to join Constellation Brands, you're sadly mistaken. This investment story is going to roll on and roll on and roll on for years to come. So what you want to do is buy weakness and sell into strength. What we had was severe weakness in October, November, brought down the whole market and brought down our favorite group. So when we get risk on across the board last week, we buy the group, the big indexes, and then we go to our whiteboard and find our favorite themes and we buy them. And then we drill down into those themes and we buy the stocks. That's how you build net worth in a meaningful way over time, by getting on the right side of probability and statistics when the reward versus risk is worth it, and getting rid of the rest of the noise you hear around you. Get rid of it. I don't care what Trump is doing with the Chinese president. I don't care what's happening at G20. I do care what the Fed says. So we got that out of the way. That was a bonus. But the algorithm told us in front of the Fed announcement to start buying the market because the reward was worth the risk. And then we got paid. That's how you build a portfolio that's successful. It's exciting, guys. It's fun. This is a fun process. At times, it can be exhausting and difficult to deal with. But, you know, it's not your dad's stock market anymore. It's not your granddad's. And it gets more and more frustrating every day because of all of the news around and all the different websites trying to pull you in different directions. And everybody on CNBC trying to predict what's going to happen next. Look, I'm not here to predict what's going to happen next. That's not what we do. We get on the right side of probabilities and statistics, and we let the statistics play out over time to increase our net worth and protect our capital. That's what we do. We put money to work when the reward's worth the risk. Oh, new high on Cronos. Now we're up 22% on the day. Yeah! This is fun. I love it! You don't always get days like this. You got to enjoy them when you get them. Now, look, let's move on. I want to talk about this buy signal for a second. It's a very bullish buy signal. I'm going to list for you the things that are important, okay, that suggest to me the market's going a lot higher from a statistical and probability standpoint. Now, this is a bit more anecdotal. And it doesn't mean I'm going to run out there and buy more stocks today. We're fully invested from last week. We're just going to enjoy the ride now. But I want to list some things for you so you understand the importance of this risk-on buy signal And what we look to do is buy weakness during different mornings. I'm not buying today's weakness because I got enough and I want to see how this plays out. But if we are able to have a decent close today and we start to grind higher the rest of the month, if you want to add to your portfolio because you weren't with us last week and you didn't fill up, then you try to add on weakness in the morning. Not this morning, though. You don't add on a 2% up morning. What you really want is weakness. I mean, I'd like to see us close strong today, then maybe gap down tomorrow morning a little bit and test, and then you buy that weakness, something like that. Anyway, here's the reasons why we got so aggressively bullish last week. All five gave us buy signals in the first 24-hour period, right? So when all five go positive in a 24-hour period, that's a pretty solid entry. It's not just one or two indexes. It's everything. It happened on a 2% up day. Statistically speaking, over 20 years, when we have risk-on buy signals on a 2-plus percent up day in the S&P, the statistics are overwhelming that the market goes higher in the next days and weeks, and even months, to be honest with you. I love Investor's Business Daily. It's been my teacher. William O'Neill has been my teacher. You should buy the book if you don't have it yet and read it, called How to Make Money in Stocks. O'Neill wrote it probably 30 years ago. It's a brilliant book. It's still worth reading. I do have a subscription to the IBD.com. It's worth it. It's how I do research, how I do fundamental research, helps me focus on companies. We're up 25% now on Kronos. One thing Investor's Business Daily does well is talk about follow-through days and when to buy the market. So I love when we have a risk-on entry point on a 2% up day, and IBD confirms it with their own algorithm, if you will, that says it's a follow-through day. You got to put risk on. I love when we get buy signals across the board, and within the first 3 to 5 trading sessions after the risk-on signal, we hit our first target. That's very bullish. If it takes 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days to hit our first target, it usually signifies a weak buy signal that's dangerous. The fact that we hit this within 3 days, very bullish, suggests higher prices. And of course, don't forget, all this coincides with the Fed getting more dovish, which is the only real piece of fundamental news that I care about when it comes to, you know, trading. It helps me decide how aggressive I want to be. I mean, I'm still going to put money to work based on the algorithm, but when the Fed gets dovish, I put more money to work. When the Fed's hawkish, we put less money to work. And also, don't forget, just from a seasonality standpoint, this is one of the best times of the year. December, January, February, particularly after you get whacked in October and November. All right, so if you haven't already executed like we were telling you to last week, it's okay. You'll get some opportunities. Do it on weakness in the morning. Now, I did put out a tweet this morning that said, rule number 6. You know, I talk about rules. I'm building a list for my 5-year-old son, my 2-year-old daughter. I'm going to give it to them on their 18th birthday. Dad's wisdom. I'm going to share it with you. 30 years on the high seas. These are the rules of the road. Number 6. Fight the powers of greed. Fight the powers of greed. When you feel yourself being greedy, fight it. Get up, leave your desk, turn off your TV, turn off the screen. Don't be greedy. Today's a perfect example of that rule. It's rule number 6. You put the capital to work when the algorithm tells you to. You put however much capital you're willing to risk at that moment. Then you have a big up day like today. Don't look back and regret that you didn't put more money to work. And so then you go put more money to work on the gap up. That's greed talking. Be happy with what you've done. Whatever money you put to work last week, was a winner. Good for you. You executed in a difficult environment. When people on CNBC told you, wait for the Fed, wait for the G20, lots of uncertainty, you put money to work. Whatever amount of money you put to work, congratulations, well done. Now everyone else is trying to catch up. You don't run out there and buy a 2% gap up in the morning. If you wanted to add more, you could have added more to the small cap index at around 12 o'clock today when the show started. It closed the gap. Now it's starting to run back to the VWAP. That's typical. Holy smokes, we're up 28% now on Kronos. Wow, this is going to be fun. I hope you're with me, guys. God, I hope you're with me. Of course, it's dragging the whole group up. I mean, MJ was down, I think, 3% this morning? Now MJ's up 4.5%. The whole group's going up. Okay, so that's rule number six. Don't let greed take over. Be patient. Buy weakness. Don't buy gap ups now. Now, I wanted to get to this. I think I'm going to have to get to it tomorrow, and I'm going to do a whole expose on it because it's such a piece of proof that traditional news media always gets it. I shouldn't say always. Let me take that back. Can get it wrong. Don't just listen to one news source. And this is a good reason why you might want to invest in Twitter. Because the whole point of Twitter, what I do on Twitter, is I bring together all my trusted sources so that when a story breaks, if only one source is carrying it, I don't believe it. If two sources carry it, I start to believe. And if three or more carry it, then I know it's real. Twitter's got value. I digress. That's a whole nother. It's a whole nother podcast, okay? So I want to go over a story that I saw last week from MarketWatch. They highlighted a cannabis stock, GW Pharmaceutical, one of my favorites. And they said, oh, what's wrong with the cannabis stocks? When GW Pharmaceutical, a proven cannabis player who has FDA approval for a drug for epilepsy, is going down. And maybe there's something wrong with the cannabis story was the gist of the article. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because the biggest owner of GW Pharmaceutical stock, symbol GWPH, is not the ETF MJ. The ETF IBB. Go look it up, ETF.com. Start using that website as a source, guys. This is the millennial market. It's a millennial tool. You've got to get used to it. The reason GWPH has been down is not just because cannabis is blah, 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 as the story suggested, but because there's a huge ownership by IBB, the biotech ETF, and the stock was getting destroyed in the last 2 months. GW Pharmaceuticals, one of the top five names in IBB. So if the whole IBB index is getting dragged down, the top names in the index get dragged down, having nothing to do with cannabis or the cannabis story. Last week, we had a risk-on buy signal in IBB, and if today plays out the way it's playing, and of course, last week, we had a risk-on buy signal in MJ, then it's probably time to own GWPH again. And ZGNX, which had a nice positive announcement today, the stock's up 5% today. It looks like they have a drug that's going to compete with GWPH. Those two stocks go together. Guys, have a great day of trading. This is a lots of fun today. I hope you're with me on this. If you're not, we'll get others together. That's the power of this relationship. You're helping me execute on my strategy, and I'm sharing with you the gifts of 30 years of doing this. I hope it's helped. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a safe day trading out there. And remember, risk management is step number one. Take care.